All right. It's not how you start. It's how you finish. All right. We're going to go to characteristic number 5 in chapter 7. I think it's very important that we understand this characteristic moved under subjection to spiritual authority. Breakthrough believers have the ability to move under subjection. I like the way he worded that. He said they have the ability to move under subjection to spiritual authority. Just because they have the ability to do it don't mean they will. But they have the ability to move under subjection to spiritual authority, breaking the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft while restoring the honor for spiritual leadership function. Now, I believe that this is one of the things that has been lost in the church as far as I'm talking about the church as a whole. Church as a whole have not really understood spiritual authority, being subjected under spiritual authority and that sort of thing because we've been so caught up on the old paradigm, the old way of church and how we did church and that kind of thing, and everybody just trying to do their own thing and that sort of thing and stuff. So, but these breakthrough believers, they breaking the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft. You know, the Bible said rebellion is at the center of witchcraft. So whenever there is rebellion, how many know the spirit of witchcraft is also functioning? I want to look at Romans, the 13th chapter. 13th chapter of Romans. Let's take a look at it here. It says, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now, Apostle dealt with the soul last night, man. And they started this thing, say, let every soul be subjected to the higher powers. One of the reasons why people can't be subjected to authority is because of wounds they have in their soul. You know, some people have been to churches and thing, and they've been hurt in church. And so, you know, they just feel like, you know, I'm just gonna do my own thing. I'm gonna do what I want to do. I don't care what nobody say about it. You know, they just got that kind of mentality. It's really because they have a wound in their soul. So he say, let every soul be subject to the higher powers, but there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, the revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And then it says, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Okay, I want to read it in another translation. Let me see. I'm reading in the NIV. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority. So what the scripture is saying that God is the one who set up all authority. Yes. If a person is in authority, it's because God set it up. Yes. You with me? And so, you know, even with the civil authority, you know, when it comes down to law enforcement and that sort of thing, all of that's set up by God. Yes, y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, I don't want to get into But, you know, like a lot of things that's happening now, you know, as far as, you know, you always got, just like you got good folk, you got bad folk. You know, you have good police, you have bad police and that kind of thing and stuff. But the thing about it is, God bagging up authority. So if authority tell you to get down. Let me tell y'all something. If they stop me and tell me to get down, I'm going to get down. And if they push my head down in the dirt, I'll fight this thing after I get in court. I ain't fighting while I'm here. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So God put authority in place so that it could bring about peace and protection and that sort of thing. All right. So it says, but there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For the rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? Then do that which is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for the rulers do not bear the sword. You know, they don't carry no swords today. They carry 9mm. 45 automatics. Y'all with me? So it said, for the rulers do not bear the sword in vain for no reason. They are God's servant, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Praise God. All right. So now I want you to look, because I want to make it real clear here. Turn to Numbers. Now, this spiritual authority, it really, the strand of it runs all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Y'all with me? I'm talking about from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It runs all through. Over in Genesis, you can read about Noah. How Noah's sons, how Noah got drunk, and Noah's son, one of his sons came in to expose him, but the other two boys, they covered him, and the one that exposed him, see, watch this. Even though Noah was wrong for getting drunk, but it was not the son's place to uncover him. You with me? And so, see the way that God has set this up. Even though he was doing something he wasn't supposed to do, it was God's responsibility to deal with Noah, because God was the one that set him up as an authority, as the father. You understand what I'm saying? So it was God's responsibility. It was not Noah's son's responsibility to uncover him. So watch this. Watch this. Watch this. This is something that you need to take note of. Whenever there's rebellion in a person's heart, all a leader has to do is do something that they feel is wrong. And then guess what? It's going to show what was in their heart. And see, that's what happened to Noah. So he had a rebellious heart. All it took was Noah to do something outside of what he should have been doing. Then all of a sudden, he won't go out and tell his brothers, man, daddy up in there naked as a jaybird. He drunk as a skunk. You know, I mean, and so instead of him trying to expose his dad, he should have been covering him. Right. So the other two boys came, the Bible said they put the sheet on their shoulder. They didn't even look at their dad. They bagged up with the sheet and covered him. You with me? And so it was God's responsibility to deal with him, since God is the one that put authority in place. Y'all still with me? All right. Okay, but turn to Numbers 13. So when God assigned apostolic men to the places where God's move had already begun, the local company of believers must learn to yield to these sent men so that God can take the church further through them. All right. See, if we don't understand how this operates, then we're going to hinder a move of God. We need to build a clear paradigm concerning covering and authority into the minds of breakthrough believers. So in Numbers, the 13th chapter, I want you to see something here. Let's see. Let me find Numbers here. All right. Numbers 13. No, 12. I'm thinking about Numbers the 12th chapter. I'm thinking about Romans again. Okay, it says here in the first verse, and Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married. Now here it is. Miriam and Aaron is Moses' sister and brother. Okay, so Miriam is really the prophetess, you know, so she's the one that had been responsible for watching over Moses ever since he was a baby. Y'all with me? And so I think she thinks that she has some kind of entitlement to, you know, come against Moses because she felt like, you know, she older than him, you know, and this our little brother and thing like that. And so look how this thing went. But how many know people can be upset with you about one thing, but they say it's something else. Sometimes people can say, you know, you didn't speak to me the other day. They say they mad because you didn't speak, but they really mad because you got a new car. Yeah. So the Bible said, so Miriam and Aaron spake against. So they got a little conversation going against Moses. They say because of the Ethiopian woman that he done married this black woman, for he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, watch this now. Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Now they're trying to make it. See, they really was upset. They were upset because Moses is in a place of leadership higher than them. Praise the Lord. And so they said, had the Lord not indeed spoken only by Moses? Moses ain't the only one God talking to. That's what they're saying. And the Lord heard it. Do you know you're talking against the thought? Do you know the Lord listening? Yes, sir. The Lord is listening just to see, because you're not going to go as far as you think you may be going when you begin to start talking against authority. But see, it's something. Let's go back to the soul wound. We got so many wounds in our soul till, you know, we got offended, you know, because Pastor said this to us, or he set us down for this reason, or whatever. So we got these wounds in our soul. So it just feels good to talk to somebody about it. Just feels good, you know, to just release yourself and have something where you can find somebody to agree with you. Praise the Lord. So look, listen at this though. Now it said, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were up on the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. Okay. So the Lord said, all y'all come out here. Y'all come on, y'all come out of here. Let me talk to y'all. So Miriam and Aaron, they feel like, you know, because, you know, they are really the oldest, you know, they, as it related to the family, they had a right to reprimand Moses about the woman he had married. If that was the, if the family thing said, you know, you're not supposed to marry outside of culture, whatever and stuff. And they did. Well, they had a right as it related to family, but that wasn't the real issue. Y'all with me? So it says, so, and the Lord suddenly spoke unto Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out ye three to the tabernacle. And the three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam both, and they came forth. I said, come on out of here. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. In other words, he's saying, I deal with Moses different because I placed him in a place of authority. All right, I'm dealing with y'all with dreams and that kind of thing and stuff. But Moses, I'm talking to him in another way. I'm talking to him face to face. Y'all still here? See, that's why sometimes, you know, I've been around people who, you know, they feel like, man, put on pants just like I put on my pants. I ain't no better than me. And don't realize this ain't got nothing to do with nobody being better. This has to do with God's delegated authority. God has appointed people. You with me? There are different ranks that God has had placed upon men. So, I've been following the apostle for 20 years. And this will be my 21st first year. And I want to say this because y'all need to hear this. And y'all always hear me talk about how I follow apostle, right? You hear me talk about how close I follow apostle. And this is not going to ever happen, but just let me give a scenario. If I happen to pull out on an apostle, don't y'all be talking about, I wonder what's wrong with apostle. Pastor Philip, he was real close to him. I wonder what he did to make him leave him. No, an apostle is something that always gets in somebody's heart. That caused it. I've seen people let people pull them off. Say, well, I know they have been filing for a long time, so I know they must have did something for him to leave. No. Something was in his soul. Something was in his soul. So the right button just wasn't pushed. See, y'all, it come a time, God will. I want y'all to hear what I'm finna say. God will test every person. I'm not talking about the person of authority. No, God will test every person. He's going to test your soul. See, just like the boys with Noah's sons, God allowed Noah to get there and get inebriated, sloppy drunk. I mean, just let him got sloppy drunk. And so because God was testing their heart. So that boy's soul was out of line because he always wanted to rebel. It was already in him. Something just had to happen so that he could express it. See, submission has to be an act of your will. Can't nobody force submission on you. Submission has to be something that. See, this is the way God operates in every aspect of our life. God gave us a will. God said, okay, I want you to, he said, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. All right, so your will is involved. So you don't really have to be willing. Neither do you have to be obedient. You just won't eat the good of the land. You with me? So God always put it in our corner so we can make the choice. What is wonderful? So if it's the will of God, I have to set my soul. I have to set my mind. I have to set my thoughts so that I can cooperate with the express will of God for my life. Y'all with me? Yeah, I have to set myself so that I can function with him. So if God puts somebody in my life for me to follow, I don't sit here and act a jack. And then I get corrected. All of a sudden, are you the one or should I look for another? No. God don't look. Because, see, we all have to look at this. God is always trying to harden us. He's always trying to mold us so that we can do the things in which he have ordained for our life. And let me tell you something. Your potential never come out without pressure. No. It'll never be realized unless you go through something. Unless you go through some fire. Unless you go through some rebuke. Unless you go through some correction. And then all of a sudden, that beast on the inside of you gonna show up. Oh, ain't nobody gonna handle me like this. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Lord. And then where we came from, I'm talking about us. Where we came from, you know, our ancestors came out of slavery and all that kind of thing and stuff. And so a lot of times, you know, we made our mind up. Ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to do my own thing. Nobody going to tell me nothing. So, see, because I had that same mentality. But when I got saved, I was rebellious. I was wreaking havoc before I got saved. I was doing some of in and everything. You with me? And so when I got saved, God started talking to me about submission. Start talking about, took me about humility. What is this? I don't know. I mean, submission. Who submit what? You know what I'm saying? And so he kept on because he's trying to take me somewhere. God was all this time. Listen to me, y'all. All that time when God was working in me, and the Lord showed me something today. I couldn't grab the whole thing he was trying to show me. But I remember, you know, I told you I went three pastors. And the first one was supposed to connect with Apostle years ago. And, you know, he came down at the old church and stuff. He was invited down. And he was supposed to connect it. So he didn't really connect. And so when God spoke to me, God said, well, it's time for me to go. And so I went to him. He said, I said, the Lord told me something. I said, did he talk to you? He said, yeah, the Lord said it's time for you to go. He said he already told it to me. I said, oh, okay. So I went over to my next place of service. And then I got there. And then this guy told me about, you'll be surprised. This just came to me today. Word of life kept coming up in my life. In my walk, word of life kept coming up. So now this guy at the church I'm at now, that's a guy that he's going to the school of ministry. He wants me to come with him. And so I asked the pastor if it's all right if I go to school. Oh, no. I want you going down there. Yeah, I want you going down there. I want you going down there. So I stayed there for a little while. And then God spoke to him, the pastor who turned church over to me, he came over there. He said, how many preacher guys? He said, I got five. He said, well, this one right here, I'm going to take this one with me. He said, because God told me. And then he called me that night. He said, yeah, the Lord said that you're supposed to go with him. He said, I hate for you to go, but the Lord said. So watch it. So when I get here to him, I asked him, can I go to the school of ministry down in Darrow? He said, yeah, son, go. So the Lord had me passing through these places because these people was trying to keep me from here. I say, what? So, and then after the man where I am now, after he passed the baton to me, he told me to come down to Darrow to follow a apostle. Isn't that something? God had to get me in the right person, the right place, the right person. Amen. To send me right on down here to connect. And so I'm saying that to say this. You'll be surprised how God do some things. God has to rearrange your life in certain ways and stuff to get you where he's been trying to get you all the time. And once you find your way there, you can't let nobody move you. You can't let nobody. Y'all with me? Praise the Lord. Let me go on here. So it says in verse 7, it says, my servant Moses is not so. So he is who is faithful in all my house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the law shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now, we saw in Romans where it said that all authority comes from God, right? Yes, and then it talks about, amen, how we could bring damnation on ourselves. Okay, so right here, he's telling them, he said, okay, so you weren't afraid to speak against Moses, my servant Moses? And then look what it says. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And he departed. And the cloud departed. God said, I'm getting out of here because I can't even stand to be in your face. But watch this. So the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, I lost my Lord. He wanna submit now. He wanna submit now. He said, oh man, we done messed up here. Yeah. You know what? A lot of people question, ask, why did it happen to Miriam and nothing happened to Aaron? Because Aaron was a priest. But soon as Aaron took that robe off, he dropped dead. Okay, all right, let me go to the scripture. So it says, Aaron said unto Moses, I lost my Lord. I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. We sinned because we put our mouth on you. It said, let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now. Watch this. O Lord, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, watch this. He said, if her father had, now Moses praying for her, right? But the Lord really let Moses know, this is not between you and them. This is between them and me. They violated me. It had nothing to do with you, really. But because they overstepped my boundaries that I had set. And you can pray for him. I want you to keep your heart right. You right praying for him. But she go constant. Watch this. If there are no consequences, then there's no motivation for change. No. You unless there's consequences for an act of disobedience, there's no consequences. I mean, there is no motivation for change. So he said, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after let her be received in again. Now she got leprosy, right? So they got to put her outside the camp. You know why? Because it's contagious. When folk are rebellious, you got to be careful of getting in their company. You got to be careful. See, that's why I just finished talking to a pastor out in the parking lot a few minutes ago. I say, boy, people don't want to hear this. But sometimes you got to cut folk loose. When people get into rebellion and that kind of thing and stuff, no, I don't want to talk. I don't want to talk to you because you go forward and say something. And you go forward and say something, you go forward and incriminate me. Trying to get me in trouble with God, because if I sit here and listen to you, I ain't got to say nothing. I'm agreeing with you if I'm listening. Silent is consent. I don't have to open my mouth and say nothing about apostle. But as long as I'm sitting there listening to somebody else saying something, I'm just as guilty. Praise God. Hallelujah. So this is why you know, a whole lot of folk have really aborted their destinies because they really didn't have somebody to instruct them and somebody to, I say this with great, I feel good every time I say it. I've been following the apostle, this, I told you, I've gone on 21 years. I have never said anything negative about him or his family, never. Me and my wife, never. And guess what? We never will. Praise the Lord. So watch this, watch this. So, you know, if anybody been following the apostle any length of time, you know that when apostle got revelation coming from everywhere, and you may not understand what he's talking about all the time, but you have to trust the God who called you to follow him. See, we really can't see what he see. So we have to, just like the servant of Elijah, Elijah told God, say, open his eyes that he might see. So he could see what I'm seeing. See, so that's time I had to pray. I said, Lord, I don't understand. You got to show me. And then here it is. Here come the revelation. Here come the insight to open up to you. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't go to somebody else and say, well, the pastor said this here, but I don't understand. I can't see that. Jesus told the disciples, he said, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part in me. The Bible says, and then they walked away from him because they couldn't understand the revelation that he was sharing with them. They walked clean away from. So Peter and them came. Jesus said, will y'all leave also? Peter said, no. Peter said, you the one got the key to eternal life. Say, no, we're not going nowhere. This is a lost subject in the body of Christ. And see, watch this. Now, I got to get you to see this. Do y'all take Alliance of Honorable Men? Y'all take that class? I took it last year. Okay. You see where it talks about in that 18th chapter, I think it is, where it talks about that model father? See, you can't just submit to anybody. They have to, it has to be somebody who's really submitted to God. You with me? I would dare go just talking about, you know, with what I know about submission, just go and just submit to somebody. I got to know that the person I'm following is following God with their whole heart. You with me? And so when you read in that about that model father, you see apostle all through that. And so, you know, so a person who really following God can put their guards down. You know, I trust you. Man of God, lead me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So they shut out the camp for 7 days. And then the people journeyed not till they brought her back in. She had to be clean before she come back in. Don't come back in here with that mess no more. Don't come over here talking all that old crazy talk. So, all spiritual authority stems out of the senior pastor in the local church. That delegated authority is a specific measure of authority within their sphere of responsibility and role function. So there's times, you know, just like apostle has LTMA, Word of Life. He has master barrels in Word of Life. He has master vision barrels at LTMA. So he's delegated authority to people that's around him, right? And so it's just like we are an extension of apostle. Y'all with me? So apostle can't counsel with everybody. So we are the people who, but watch this. We can't take it upon ourselves. When it comes to a small matter, we're allowed to share wisdom with them. But when it comes to something big, we have to contact apostle and let him know this is what's going on. What do you think that they need to do in this situation? Because the people in LTMA, the people in Word of Life, you know, they're not following the people who he put in authority. He's put those people in authority so they can be an extension of him. So they can't take it up on themselves. Like, they starting their own thing. See, that's another thing about delegated authority. Delegated authority has to understand their place. Sometimes delegated authority get ahead of themselves. Delegated authority go to creating a little role of their own because they think about starting a ministry. So they got certain people they really embrace, you know, the Absalom kind of thing. You know, where they make people think that, well, apostle too busy for you. But if I was your apostle, whenever you hear somebody say that, you better run. I'm telling you, you better run for your life. Somebody tell you, well, you know, if I was your leader, I'd give you a little more time. Yeah, right. Yeah, you really got to be careful, man. We're in a time where God is trying to restore the church back to her place of power, victory. And apostolically, that's where apostle is bringing us to. But this is the thing. Most folk, because they have not really seen real submission. See, watch this. I just finished telling you, submission has to be an act of 100% a act of the submitter's will. It had to be 100%. It can't be something that being forced on you. It's got to be something that you, me, myself, I made this choice that I'm going to follow, that I'm going to submit. I made the choice. Nobody making me do this. You with me? And so whenever I do that, it put me in a position to where now I can follow. I can hear the voice of God. I can follow the person and not worry about all this other noise that's going on. See, because in the church, whenever they see real structure, whenever they see real submission to authority, the first thing they think, it's a cult. First of all, somebody tell me what a cult is. I mean, you know, I've seen, Jim Jones. I've seen television programs of them and things like that. Listen to me. These are folk who was trying to get people under their power. They were not trying to point people to God. You with me? They were trying to strong arm people into submission. The real church, people have to be submitted to God's will, and they submit to the person willfully. And so when this happens, a lot of times they think that, you know, well, you know, we don't do this in our church because you've been so busy talking about the pastor. In most churches, when you come preach something like this, I remember I went to a church and preached. I told the church that God put the man of God in charge. The pastor had to go out of town. So he had me come in and preach. And so when he got back, the deacons had a meeting. Say, Reb, whenever you go out of town, please don't bring that man back down here. Because I tore down a little playhouse from scripture. God never put the deacons in there to run the house of God. He put the pastor there. And so whenever the deacons got the pastor, they called them deacons, but sometimes they were like demons. You understand what I'm saying? And so they tried to make sure that the pastor couldn't do nothing unless they okayed it. Now, how in the world, if I'm hearing from God, what we got to vote about? So that's the kind of thing that they had for so long. You understand what I'm saying? So God is trying to bring, if you look at scripture, if you read scripture and you see how God has established things and stuff, the church has got away from it. The church got away from God's order. They got away from doing it the way God had ordained it. And so when God bring the apostolic back in full thrust, and then you have people like apostles trying to teach and trying to bring forth apostolic doctrine from the word of God, then folks start saying something. Oh, I don't know about this. Well, go ahead on with your crazy self. Go right ahead on. Go ahead. Just leave us alone. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So when they are under spiritual authority, operating under delegated authority, they represent the man from whom they have received their commissioning to function in their leadership role. Now, with me?
Yes, sir.
So the word covering is often associated with those who have authority over you. Covering. How many of y'all know covering? It has to do with protection. You know, it could be raining. You go out there in the rain and stuff, you get all wet up. But if you get an umbrella, it'll cover you and keep you from the elements. And so that's what a covering does. It keeps you from all kind of satanic attacks. You'll be surprised that whenever you are in a place and God's authority is covering you, the person of God placed you on is covering you. I mean, there's safety, there's protection, there's provision under that covering. Y'all with me? Now, just like the umbrella, I mean, I could have the umbrella and I can get from up under and still get wet. I could have it here, but it's not doing me no good. And so that's a lot of time that's what's happening in churches. They have a person who God has placed in authority in their life and stuff, but they're not using it because they don't feel like, you know, they need to be submitting. So those who are our covering take the bullets for us. Hello. Yeah. See, any kind of thing. See your even in your life. There are people who they don't like you because you come to Word of Life. Yeah. What church you go to? Oh, I go to Word of Life Christian Center. And Darrow, oh, girl, please. See, watch this. Because a pastor has already cut down a trail for us. So he's already taken the shots. They say they go to people all they bought is money. Y'all with me? So he's taking the shots. And he's teaching you how to do it. While people steady talking about him. But the thing about it is, because he show up who he is and what God told him to do, it don't bother him. But if you had to take the bullets and the shots, you may go down. But he got you covered. Glory to God. Got you covered. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for Apostle every day.
Yes,
hallelujah. All right. So they are attacked first because they are the hedge around our lives. They allow us to grow to full potential while they face the onslaughts of the enemy. We grow at their expense. So I don't want nobody telling me that, you know, we say, well, we're gonna bless apostle with this and whatever, you know, doing what you call, you know, we bless apostle with over $1 million. Somebody say, well, why y'all got to do that? We don't got to. We get to. You understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. There ain't nothing that I have that's too much for apostle because of the hits that he's taken so that I can walk the way I walk. You with me? Praise God. Hallelujah. And see, a lot of times, the only way you're going to get this is by revelation. You can't get this by walking with folk, amen, who are always critical about this, critical about that, critical about the other. There's times when in your walk, you got to walk by yourself. So you can see, so God can show you exactly what he's trying to do in your life. Praise God. So they cover us in prayer with their counsel, with their expertise, and with their faith. We need someone in our lives who will mentor and father us, someone who will stand alongside us until we have come into full potential and the calling of God. Praise the Lord. See, you know, I told you about, you know, sometimes somebody coming, people come down, they follow apostle for a little while, and apostle pouring into them. You know, that's what really upsets me. They got a little glass. Apostle is trying to pour into them. And they get the glass half full and they gone like they got it all. When I could have been catching it, what they didn't want. You shouldn't have been here wasting apostle time. I could have had a bigger bowl so I could have caught more. So. So stop worrying. Stop taking up apostle time. And you know you don't really want it. Let the folk who want it. Praise the Lord. So I'm not just gonna have a glass. I'm gonna have a bucket. Glory to God. You know, it takes a little longer to fill a bucket up than to do a glass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. Jesus. We will always rise higher if someone believes in us and motivates us to reach for the highest. I mean, man, there's times when I didn't believe in myself. Apostle, you can do this, Phil. You can do it. So you got to have somebody who pushing you. You got to have somebody who make you believe in yourself. Tell you that I don't care how many people told you that. I don't care how many times you fail. I don't care how many times you was told no, you couldn't do it, you couldn't make it. But when you got somebody in your corner say, get up, try it again. Yeah. Apostle told me one time, he said, Phil, sometimes you just got to leap. So you never know that you can fly unless you leap. He said, I ain't tell you to do nothing crazy. He said, but at some time, you know, just stepping out on something ain't good enough. Sometimes you just got to leap. I said, my God. Apostle has pushed me some places that I never thought I would have gone. But guess what? All he's looking for is somebody that want it. Apostle ain't got to respect the person. If he find out you want it and you keep on showing up, and you keep on, you know, when he going out of town, you showing up out of town and stuff, Pastor said, oh, they really want it. And he will begin to, your bucket going to get bigger. Your bucket going to have to be bigger because he going to be ready to pour more into you. But if you're a person, you know, every now and then you show up and stuff, hey, Pastor say, oh, they don't want it. So you just go ahead. Boy, look at this time. My God. When we come under the authority of a person, we can then operate in the measure of his authority and represent that authority. When a general summons five privates to accompany him to a restricted building, they have access into the building on the grounds of the general's stature and authority. So they walk into the building covered by his authority and thus have access into what he has access. In other words, see, we just like we have apostles' grace. We have his grace. There's a grace that's on him, and we partake of that grace when we follow close and we submit. We partake of the grace that is upon him. And when we are in Christ, we can operate in his authority and in his stature. Luke 10:19-20 says, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in the book, recorded in heaven. Our names are bound together with Christ and authenticated and authorized to function with legality and validity. Those who fail the test of submitting to the government of the kingdom will have their rebellious natures revealed under these authority structures. It's not how you start, but it's how you finish. It's been a joy to teach you all this year. Praise God. Amen.